It's time now for Living Theology, a weekly program in which Dr. John B. McDonald seeks to equip and encourage you to become more like Jesus Christ, living with competence and joy. With today's episode, here's Dr. McDonald.
We've been warned, Jesus Christ will return, and this cosmic, life-changing event could happen at any moment. Many do not see Christ's future return as relevant to present-day living. They choose to ignore it, even deny it. In this podcast, we'll review the who, where, what, when, and how of his return. Then I'll give you the why, five ways in which it matters to you now. This is introductory rather than exhaustive. First, here's the who and where. The who is Jesus. The where is earth. This should be a no-brainer, but some prefer to twist and distort the obvious. When Jesus left earth, he promised to return. Here's how the disciples remember it. 40 days after his resurrection from the dead, Jesus met and spoke with his followers just outside Jerusalem. We read in Acts chapter 1, verses 9 to 11, that after he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus, who has been taken from you into heaven, will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." You've probably spoken to people or listened to people who imagine that Jesus has already come back or will come back in some other form or in some other way. And that's why I highlighted these words. This same Jesus, not someone else, not something else. This same Jesus will come back in the same way, that is, physically and visibly. Next is the what. The biblical record relates much to us of the return to earth of the Lord Jesus. I'll focus on one aspect of his return, the parousia. Now, I appreciate you've probably heard people pronounce this parousia, but you should put the emphasis on the right syllable. The pronunciation is more probably parousia. Parousia is a Greek word that refers to the state of being present at a place. It refers to a person's presence. It is not the promise of coming. It's not the process of coming. It's the result of having come, the actual physical presence of the person. Of the 24 occurrences of this word in the New Testament, 6 of them are used in an ordinary sense of a person being present, such as Paul, 2 Corinthians 10, verse 10. 18 times, parousia is used of the future physical presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter gives us a glimpse of the parousia of Christ. He recalls his experience of the transfiguration decades earlier. Matthew 17, verses 1 to 9. Is one of those occurrences. And of that, he writes that Jesus Christ was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as light. Now, Peter views the transfiguration as a foretaste of Christ at his parousia. He writes, 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 16 to 18, "We did not follow cleverly invented stories when we told you about the power and coming, the power and parousia of our Lord Jesus Christ. But we were eyewitnesses of his majesty, for he received honor and glory from God the Father when the voice came to him from the majestic glory saying, 'This is my Son whom I love. With him I am well pleased.' We ourselves heard this voice that came from heaven when we were with him on the sacred mountain." Reading this text and reflecting on the transfiguration accounts, I come to the conclusion that we will be overwhelmed with the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ at his parousia. Next is the when. There's a certain impatience on the part of believers in the Lord Jesus and a certain denial on the part of those who do not believe in him. The disciples asked Jesus, "When will this happen?" in Matthew 24, verse 3. And this was in the context of future events, including the parousia. In Matthew 24, verses 37 to 44, the word parousia is used twice, verses 37 and 39. The word translated for coming in verse 42 is a different word, for the process of his coming. In this context and elsewhere, Jesus tells his disciples, "You do not know on what day your Lord will come." Nevertheless, many have embarrassed themselves by trying to predict the date of the parousia of the Lord Jesus and events surrounding his return. Others argue that the delay in his return means he is not coming at all. In 2 Peter 3, verses 1 to 14, where the parousia occurs in verses 4 and 12, we read this: "Where is this coming? Where is this parousia he promised? Ever since our fathers died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation. These people are in for a rude awakening." Using an agricultural metaphor, James, in his letter chapter 5, verses 7 to 9, relates the patience of a farmer waiting for a crop to ripen for harvest. In the same way, we should exercise an informed patience for the parousia. Our Lord will return when the time is ripe. Next is the how. Earlier we quoted two angels. Jesus will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. Acts 1, verses 11. Jesus himself tells the disciples that as the lightning that comes from the east is visible even in the west, so will be the coming, the parousia, of the Son of Man. Matthew 24, verse 27. And Paul writes this in 1 Thessalonians 4:16. In the previous verse, the word parousia occurs, and Paul says, "The Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump call of God." The conclusion is that the parousia of Jesus Christ will be physical and visible. Last is the why. And here are five ways in which the parousia of the Lord Jesus Christ matters to you. 1. Its motive for personal purity. In the previous podcast, we read 1 John 3, verses 2 to 3, and it was cited to demonstrate the future return of our Lord Jesus Christ is a present incentive for purity of life, purifying yourself. 2. The parousia and its promise are a motive for faithful service. The parousia could happen at any time, and Jesus tells parables that illustrate the need to be alert, to be watchful, to be serving faithfully now. For instance, in Matthew 24, verse 44, "So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him." 3. The parousia gives us a reliance in God's judgment. Not infrequently, people complain about God's apparent lack of intervention and the judgment of evil. One question is often asked, why do bad things happen to good people? Another is, why aren't the wicked punished? At the parousia, there will be a great reckoning when things will be set right by God, who is all righteous and all knowing and all powerful. Confidence in God's future judgment enables us to release the present causes of anger, bitterness, vengeance, and other real and perceived injustices. Easier said than done, I know, but I encourage you to build this into your perspective of life. 4. The parousia is a guarantee that service and suffering are recognized. This is the positive side of the previous point. Faithful service and suffering often go unnoticed by others, but not by our Lord. If you protest that you aren't in it for the rewards, I understand, but there's another purpose for rewards that will be expanded upon in a future podcast. And 5, the parousia invigorates hope. In Psalm 42 and 43, the psalmist asks his question 3 times. "Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me?" And each time it's answered by an aspect of the hope of God. The hope in the future parousia has an invigorating effect upon our souls in the present. Among other things, it is the hope of vindication, joy, salvation, and above all, the presence, the very parousia of the Lord Jesus Christ.
You've been listening to John B. MacDonald in Living Theology, a program designed to equip and encourage you to become more like Jesus Christ. Dr. MacDonald has an extensive online writing ministry. To learn more about John and his work, follow the links on the producer's page at HopeStreamRadio.com.